Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Ayin Ches Amud Aleph. We're learning today Lila Nishmas George Brickner, Gershon Ben Moshe Yitzchak. All the Nishmas we learned for should have an Aliyah. We are going to pick up the Gemara about two lines up from the start of the wider lines on Ayin Ches Amud Aleph with the parentheses, Tenach Yom Kippurim Deleko Mino. Now, it's questionable whether these words should be here, but it's dealing with the understanding that we had in yesterday's shiur that one should not wear shoes on Yom Kippur when you are crossing a river, because you're not allowed to wear shoes on Yom Kippur. So Tenach Yom Kippurim Deleko Mino, some suggest, doesn't belong here because we aren't really talking about that till now with Yom Kippur. We were talking about just the question of Rechitz on Yom Kippur. But in any event, you're not wearing shoes on Yom Kippur, so that's why some suggest this belongs here. Yom Kippur works out well, that there's no problem with wearing shoes when you're crossing these bodies of water that we discussed yesterday, because you're not wearing shoes on Yom Kippur. However, Shabbos, the Ikum Yinol, on Shabbos, when a person does wear shoes, my, isn't there a problem over here with maybe the shoe is going to come off, as Rashi points out, on the third line from the top in Rashi's in the wide lines, Mishare Lavor Bimayim, are you allowed to go wear shoes when you cross the water? Maybe, Dilma Chayshinon, Dilma Nafke Mikare, Vaose Liaisu Niu, that maybe you're going to have them fall off. They're loose-fitting shoes, and they're going to fall off, and as a result, you're going to carry them Dalet Amos. And of course, on Shabbos, you're not allowed to carry them Dalet Amos. Now, all the Mefarshim point out, so why isn't this a concern for those that are wearing a permissible type of shoe on Yom Kippur? After all, you're not allowed to wear leather shoes on Yom Kippur, and while some Gedolim do bring down that means you should walk barefoot, most Poskim seem to suggest that it's acceptable to wear non-leather shoes on Yom Kippur. The custom is widespread in Klal Yisrael today. People wear sneakers, they wear Crocs, they wear some non-leather shoe. So therefore, why isn't that a concern? So the Poskim point out that those types of shoes are not the types of shoes that are going to fall off, or if they do fall off, they're not worth a lot of money, as opposed to a leather shoe, which is worth a lot of money. If you're wearing these other types of shoe and they fall off, you're not concerned that you're going to go pick them up and carry them down Lidamus in Rosh Hashanah. But these leather shoes that you're allowed to wear on Shabbos, there is a concern. Shabbos di komin olmai. How come we're allowed to wear them when you cross through water? Aren't we concerned that they're going to fall off and you're going to come to carry them down Lidamus in Rosh Hashanah? So Nechemiah, who was the son-in-law, the chasne of the Dei Nasiya, of the Nasi, so he gave the following teretz. Ano, I personally saw, chazise, l'ravami ravasi, I myself saw these two great gedolei Eretz Yisrael Amoraim, first generation Amoraim, ravami ravasi, demotu urkama demaya. They walk through an urkama demaya. Rashi elsewhere tells us that an urkama demaya is shlulis shalmaim, a big, big puddle. And these waters are gathered, mechunasim, in that place. So that I saw them myself walk through a flooded area, a large body of water, and they weren't concerned that their shoes would cool off. The ivrua derech babush, and they passed through it while they were clothed. And Rashi says, binaleim avrusa, they were wearing their minal. So therefore, the son-in-law of the Nasi, Nechemiah, said that clearly these great Gedolim weren't concerned that maybe your shoes are going to come off and you're going to carry them down Lidam, especially Sarabim. Where says, okay, that's great. Tenach Minol. A Minol is a tight-fitting shoe. What about Sandal, Mayikal Meimar? What about a Sandal? A Sandal is a looser-fitting shoe, as Rashi says, She'en Yochol Lahatko Ula Kashro Yofa. You can't tie it so tightly and attach it so tightly to your foot like you can a minol, and therefore, maybe while a minol won't fall off, and therefore you're not concerned that it might come off and carry Dalet Amos versus the Rabbim, a sandal you should be concerned. So what about a sandal? So Amar Rav Rihumi. So Rav Rihumi answers that, and he says, no, I personally saw Ano Chazise Le Ravina. I myself saw Ravina. Now, note that this is Ravina, because this will be important in a few moments. I myself personally saw Ravina, the Ovar Derech Malbush, that he crossed such a Urkuma, he crossed such a puddle of water while he was wearing these looser-fitting sandal type of shoes, footwear, and he wasn't concerned that it would fall off and carry it Dalet Amos Mishus Rabbim. On the other hand, Ravashi disagreed. Ravashi said, no, sandal lechachila, no. This is a concern with a sandal, and you shouldn't do this lechachila because it might slip off and you'll carry it Dalet Amos Mishus Rabbim. So while Ravina apparently was not concerned about this, Ravashi says, lechachila, you should be concerned about this. Maisa Shohaya, Reish Galusa Ikla Lahagrunya Levei Rav Nosson. The Reish Galusa, who was the head of the Jewish community, Lav Dafka was he always a Talmud Chacham, he was the secular head of the Jewish community, and he went to visit a city called Hagrunya, and he stayed by the house of Rav Nosson. Now, Rafram, the Kula Rabbanan, also Lepirka. So the Reish Galusa, in this situation, was a Talmud Chacham, and he gave a shiur. And all the leading sages of the day came to hear the Reish Galusa shir. So Avram and all the other Rabbanim came to the shir. However, Ravina, lo osa, now Ravina was the one that we just mentioned a moment ago, that wasn't concerned about wearing the sandal, the loose-fitting shoe, footwear, when he went through a body of water. That's important. So Ravina lo osa, Ravina did not come. Now, Lamacha boy Rafam lafuki Ravina midaite the Reish Galusa. Raphim was concerned that the Reish Galusa would be upset at Ravina for not showing up to shir. All the other Talmidei Chachamim showed up, and Ravina didn't show up. It's like a slap in the face of the Reish Galusa. So Raphim wanted to make sure that there was no enmity between the Reish Galusa and Ravina. So therefore, he went to ask Ravina how come he didn't come to the shir, and then he would tell over to the Reish Galusa that, you know, Ravina had a good excuse why he didn't come to the shir. So he went to the Ravina, and he asked him, Amalei, Raphim asked Ravina, my time lo osa mar lepirka. Now, Raphim obviously held Ravina in great esteem. He called him Mar. So he asked him, why didn't the Rebbe come to the shir? Why were you not at the Reish Galusa's shir? So Amalei, so Ravina told him, because Havakoy Likari, my foot was hurting me, and I couldn't come. It was too painful for me to go. So Raphim said to him, Iboy loch lemesa misani, why didn't you go put on a comfortable pair of shoes? As Rashi points out elsewhere, that misani is min olim, is a type of shoe that would be comfortable for your foot, and it would take away the pain from your foot, and therefore you could have come. So Ravina answers him back, and he says, it was the bottom of my foot, yeah, the comfortable, tight-fitting shoe that you're referring to would have been good. However, gaba de karahaba, it was on the top of my foot that I had the pain, and therefore I couldn't put on this tight-fitting minol. So here's where we get to the point that we're interested in. So Raphim tells to him, so then why didn't you wear a softer shoe like a sandal? So you boy loch lemirma sandla. You should have put on a sandal. And this sandal would have taken away the pain. And as Rashi points out, shoe rochav, it's wider. So you could wear it on the top of, it wouldn't affect the pain that you had on the top of your foot, but would have allowed you to walk to the Reish Galusa's house in comfort. So therefore, you should have done that. So Ravina says back to him, Omalei, Urkama de Maya Havav Urcha. There was a large collection of water. There was a big puddle over there, and I was concerned that if I had walked through that puddle, my shoe would have fallen off, and I might have come to forget and carry it to Alamas Bishus Rab. But wait a second, Raphim said, Iboy loch lemavrei derech malvush. You should have worn this loose-fitting shoe, and it wouldn't be a problem. After all, weren't you the one that previously said that a loose-fitting shoe is not a concern? So Amalei, Ravina said to him, Lo sova lo mar, lo hod yom Ravashi. Whoa, Ravashi said that you shouldn't do this. L'chatchila sandal, l'chatchila lo. Don't do this l'chatchila. Now, that's the answer that Ravina gave back to Raphim. So obviously, he either retracted his previous statement, or he was just giving Ravina an answer. That's what the Tosfos Yerushalmi says. He was just pushing him aside. Yeah, I'm giving you this answer, but it's not really technically my personal opinion. But yeah, I wouldn't want to go against what Ravashi said. Or some suggest that maybe that was a different Ravina. There is an opinion that says there were two Ravinas. So the Tosfos Yerushalmi brings down in his first teretz that this was actually a second Ravina. And he says, Shema Zeraya Leperish Rebbe, Shirogu Lefarish. He says, my Rebbe used to say, the Trey Ravina Habu, that there were two Ravinas. So that would be the simplest teretz. In any event, Ravina didn't go because he was concerned about this opinion of Ravashi, or at least that's what he told Raphim. Now the Gemara says, Tani Yehuda, now we have the Girsa Bar Grogros, others have the Girsa Rav Yehuda Grogros. Grogros is the name of the person, that's what Kach Shemo, that's what the Tosfos Yerushalmi says. So this Rav Yehuda was the son of Grogros, or he was Rav Yehuda Grogros. Often their names weren't what the Gemara says they were known by this Shita. So maybe Rav Yehuda Grogros had said some din regarding Grogros, which is why he was known by that name. In any event, he said the following, also Leishev Al-Gabi Tina B'Yom HaKippurim. It is forbidden for a person to go and sit in mud on Yom Kippur. Why is that? So Amar Yishu Ben Levi U'Betina Mitapachas, dealing here with mud that has a lot of water coming out of it. As Rashi says, mekiyamayim, it spits out water. In other words, it still has a great deal of water in this mud, so therefore you're getting the pleasure of sitting in the mud that is like a rechitza. As Rashi says, hatid hevi oneg karov l'rechitza, that this is a pleasure that is similar or near the pleasure of bathing, and therefore that's why you can't do this. Abaye qualifies it further. Om abaye, obatofeach, amanas latviach, there has to be a certain amount of moisture that it will get something else wet. Not that you just feel the wetness of it, but it actually makes you wet. So that's a certain level of wetness that it's tofeyach, it's wet, al menatz latviach, and it makes you wet as well. The Gemara says, Amar Yehuda, mutar litzdanin beperos, if a person needs to get himself a little bit cool and comfortable on Yom Kippur because it's too hot, so what he can do is take a fruit and put it against his body, and in this way, cool off by putting a cold apple against his forehead, against his cheeks. Rav Yehuda, similarly, it's tanin b'kora. He would go take a kora. Rashi elsewhere in the Gemara in Brachos says this is a dalas, a certain type of a gourd. It's often referred to as a squash. So he would go and cool himself off by placing this squash against his skin. Rabba, that's the girsa that we have. There is a girsa that switches around the girsa of Rabba and Rabba. Over here, I'll just leave it the girsa that we have. Rabba mitstanin b'yenuka. Rabba would put a cold baby next to him. Stumble the baby, because of the large surface area of the head, would sometimes lose heat from their body a little bit faster. Maybe the baby would feel cool putting up against the body. And that's what he would do on Yom Kippur. And Rava mitzdanin b'kasa de kaspa. Rava would take a cup that was made out of kaspa, kesef, of silver, and he would place that against his body, and he would cool off from that. Now, about these cups, we qualified a little bit. Amar Rapapa, Rapapa said, if you're dealing with a kasa de kaspa mole, if you're dealing with a full cup of silver that's filled with cold water, so then also, then you're not allowed to do that because the concern is that it's going to spill on you, and as a result, you're going to get wet. So Rashi says, Shema yishbichu mayim al-basara. The contents of the cup may spill out if it's a full cup, and that you're not allowed to do because then it would be intentional rechitza, essentially. However, chaser, if the cup is not all the way filled to the top, so then there is no concern that it's going to spill out on you. That is permissible because, again, you're getting the cold of the silver cup, but you're not getting any of the water from it. So therefore, it's permissible. However, the pachra, if you're dealing with a cup that is made out of earthenware, so if it's made out of cheres, so then idi v'idi also, it's also even if it's not full. Certainly if it's full, because then you're concerned that you'll spill it, but even if it's not full, we're concerned that we have mishum de mishchal shochel. As Rashi explains, polet mayim sheboleya, it will express the water that's inside of it. It will go through, so to say, the earthenware porous cup. And that's what the Rabbeinu Chananel says as well. He says, Shoavin Hamayin Umekino Sam Bachutz. It like takes the water that's inside and it spits it out onto the outside. Sometimes a cup will have the condensation on the outside. That's what will happen with these earthenware cups. Venimtsa Hamitstanin Behem Shamayin Hamiskabsin Rochatzin Ezgufo. And the person who's trying to cool off with this is actually washing themselves. So both Rashi and the Rabbeinu Chananel say that the earthenware cup here is no good because you're actually washing yourself when even if it's not filled to the top because it will come through the porous walls. Rav Papa is the gear that we have, but the Mesor Sasha says it should be Rav Ashi, and Rav Ashi therefore says, Omar, Kaso de Kaspo Choser Nami Yoser. He says even the silver cup, if it's not filled up all the way, is also Oser. Why is that? Mishum de Mizdorev. What does the Mizdorev mean? So Rashi tells us it's very smooth, machlik, it's glat, and it's very smooth, and it's going to slip out of your hand. The Nishmit Miyodo, the Yishbichu Hamayim Olav, it's going to slip out of your hand, and there is some water inside of it, and that's going to fall on you, and you're going to end up getting washed. So Rav Ashi says that don't even use a half-filled-up silver cup, because it will potentially spill on you. Rabbeinu Chananel has a slightly different explanation here. He says, when you're holding it, you could have some of it splash. You know, a person isn't necessarily going to spill some of it. So some of it will spill on you. And therefore, you'll wash in that way. And then the post will have a discussion. Is this specifically silver? According to Rabbeinu Chananel, it would seem to imply any cup. It's not only a silver cup. According to Rashi, who says that specifically the silver cup is slippery, would this apply to other types of metals or other types of cups? Are they slippery or not? So this is the discussion in the post. Gemara tells us a Maisa Shohaya. Zeira Bar Choma was a well-known hotelier. He would go and host many of the Tamidei Chachamim in his hotel. So Zeira Bar Choma, Ush Bezichdan, he was the person who hosted in his hotel many great Tamidei Chachamim. One time he hosted the Rav Ami, the Rav Asi, these great first-generation Amoraim, very strong, and the great Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Rav Yeshua ben Levi, as we mentioned many times, is also first-generation Amora, but sometimes he's even referred to as a Tana. I always love to say the story that he's mentioned in the last Mishnah in Uktzin. I've said this over many times, forgive me if you've heard it before, and he's mentioned in a Braisa in the last Mishnah in Uktzin. And the vort that I heard from my Rebbeim is, if you go through all of Shas, you become a Tana. So even though he's an Amora, or at the end of Shas, he's considered a Tana. In any event, these three great Amorayim, or the Kula Rabbanim, and in fact, many, many Rabbanim of Caesarea Haba, would stay by this hotel of Zeira Bar Choma. He would host all of these great Tamidei Chachamim. And one time, Amalei Rav Yosef, this Zira Bar Chama, who hosted people, told the Amalei Lirav Yosef Bered Rav Shubin Levi. He told the son of Rav Shubin Levi. He had the honor of hosting Rav Shubin Levi many times. So one time when his son was there, he told his son, Bar Arya, you are the son of a lion. He referred to Rav Shubin Levi as the lion. He was an unbelievably great Talmud Chacham, who has many stories about how he jumped into Gan Eden alive, and he was able to take the sword of the Malach HaMavis. Rav Shubin Levi was a Bal Mofes and an unbelievably great Talmud Chacham. So he called him, Bar Arya, you son of a lion. Ta Emaloch, let me go and tell you, Milsa Ma'ayas are some of the great things to have a Ovid Abu, some of the great things that your father said or did. So he would go on Yom Kippur, Mitpachas Hoyalo Ber Yom Kippurim, he took a sudor, Rashi says, a towel of some sort that was dried out, and Shora Osam Mamayim, he would go and soak it in water on Erev Yom Kippur, when of course you're allowed to go wash, but also Osam Kimin Kalim Nugubim, and then he would wring it out, he would get most of the real water out of it, but it still had moisture associated with it. And then the next day, it would dry out furthermore overnight over Yom Kippur. And the next morning, he would have this more or less dried towel, but it still had some coolness and moisture to it, albeit it wasn't tofeach al menas lehatfiach. It didn't actually put out the moisture, but you could feel the moisture. And therefore, on the next day, lemochar, mekaneach ba'panav yotir raglav, he'd be able to wash his face with this towel, which really didn't wet you, but it felt cool, and it felt like you were cleaning yourself a little bit, and he would wash his face, his hands, and his feet with such a towel. This was one of the great halachos that your father taught us. And similarly, on Erev Tisha B'Av, Shoros HaBamayim, he would do the same thing. He would soak it Erev Tisha B'Av, when of course you're allowed to wash. He would soak it in water. Ulamachar, now here it doesn't say that he wrung it out, because here there is no concern of schita. On Yom Kippur, there's a concern of schita. So on Yom Kippur, he had to dry it out enough that it wouldn't be a concern of schita. That's how the Mefarshim understand this. And that's the girsa that we have. There are other girsas over here. I'm just going to leave the girsa that we have and explain it that way. The next day, he would put it only over his eyes. It was a little bit more moist, so therefore he was concerned, so he only did it over his eyes. Similarly, v'chein ki also Rabba Bar Mari, when Rabba Bar Mari came to this Ushbezichot of Zira Bar Chama, Amar, he said, the Erev Tisha B'Av, Mivin Lo Mitpachas, that he would say about Rav Shuv and Levi, that on Erev Tisha B'Av, they would bring him this towel, and he would wet it, V'shoros HaBamayim, U'menicha Tachas M'rashosab, and he put it underneath his head to keep it safe, and also maybe to make sure that it dried out over there. U'lemachar, Mekaneach Ponav Yotiv Raglav, and the next day, now here, this was Tisha B'Av, we have the gears here, that he washed his, not only his eyes, but he did his entire face, his hands, and his feet. Again, there was no concern of actually tofeach amenas latpiach, so he didn't actually get wet, because that would have been usur, and there is no concern of schita, so it could be a little bit more moist, he didn't have to wring it out, like he would have to do on Yom Kippur. And the Erev Yom Kippur, he did a similar thing. They would bring him this towel, he'd soak it in water when it was allowed. And again, also come in, Caleb Neguvim. Here he would wring it out because of the concern of Schita. Here it says he only put it over his eyes. So we have a slight discrepancy between these two versions. One said that on Yom Kippur, he washed his face, his arms, and his legs. And the other one said he only did that on Tisha B'Av. And they did the opposite on Yom Kippur, Tisha B'Av, respectively, that he only did his eyes. So Amalei Rav Yaakov, Rav Yirmiya Bar Techlifa, when Rav Yaakov heard this, he said to Rav Yirmiya Bar Techlifa that Ifcha Amisla, we heard the exact opposite, V'yosivnecha Schita, and the concern was because of Schita. That's why you told us the opposite. Now, it appears from here that there could be a possibility that Tisha B'Av is even more stringent than Yom Kippur. Now, what would be the possible havamina for that? So the Tosus Yontif brings down the Dilma Divrei Sofrim Tzrichim Chizuk V'yesh L'Hachmir Yoser, that it's possible that since this is only a rabbinical prohibition on Tisha B'Av, it's not a Daraisa. Obviously, Tisha B'Av is not a Din Daraisa. It's our commemorative mourning for Nebuch, the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, Meher Yemenu, should be rebuilt. So it's all rabbinical, and therefore the rabbis felt that if we don't put in additional safeguards and additional stringencies, people will take it a little bit too easily. And therefore the rabbis often had to put in safeguards, Chizuk Yoser, then a Din Daraisa. Oh, there's a Din Daraisa. We don't need to necessarily put in safeguards. Of course, sometimes we obviously do put in safeguards to safeguard a Din Daraisa. We put up Kedorim, Asus Siog La Torah. In any event, the Gemara continues and says, the following Shaila to Rabbi Lozer. Now, the first Shaila to the answer of Lozer seems to have nothing to do with what's going on over here, and Rashi is going to tell us that we're going to see the second question, and the second question is why this entire question to Rabbi Lozer is brought down. Which Rabbi Lozer is this? So Rashi tells us this is the Amora Rabbi Lozer ben Pidos. I always mention there's two famous Rabbi Lozers. There's Rabbi Lozer ben Shemua, who was a Tana, and Rabbi Lozer ben Pidos is the Amora. And I tell you my mnemonic. It's a cute little mnemonic for me. It works for you. That's great. So Pidos starts with a P. That's a pediatrician. He was the younger one. And Shemua begins with an S type of a sound. That's for sage. He's the older one. So that's how I personally remember Rabbi Lozer ben Shemua was the Tana, and Rabbi Lozer ben Pidos is the Amora. If you can use that mnemonic, great. If not, forget it. Okay, so Gemara tells us that Amar Rav Menashe bar Techlifa, Amar Rav Amram, Amar Rabba bar Barchana, they said the following question was asked to Rabbi Elazar, Shalus Rabbi Elazar. They asked Rabbi Elazar the following question, Rabbi Elazar ben Pidos, the Amora, Zokain, if a person is a Talmud Chacham, Zokain means Zeshekar Nechachma, it doesn't literally mean an older person, it means a Talmud Chacham, Zeshekar Nechachma, V'yoshev B'yeshiva, and he's sitting in the yeshiva, Rashi means that he's sitting by the Sanhedrin. I'm reading the Sanhedrin, Shein Chacham Matir as a Bechor, we have a rule that the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that a Chacham is only allowed to be Matir or Bechor by himself. Normally, there's a question if a Bechor has a mum, so then it's allowed to be shechted outside the Beis HaMikdash. Nowadays, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, so we have to deal with all the Bechors. You're not allowed to go shechted until it gets a mum. So, what we do is we make a partnership with a non Jewish person, and therefore it doesn't have the status of Bechor, even if a non Jewish person owns a small part of it. But if you didn't do that, so then if you have a Bechor, you're going to have to wait till it gets a mum. So, there is a din that if you're a member of the Sanhedrin, you normally are assumed to have a certain status. And you might not have to go and ask permission to go be dan the dinim of Bechoros. So that's the question that they asked over here. If you're a Zokiv, Yoshev, Yeshiva, you're a member of the Sanhedrin, do you have to ask permission from the Reish Gelusa, from the Nasi, or not, to judge the dinim of Bechor? Tzarech li tov rishus lahati Bechoros, so ain't no tzarech. Do you or do you not need to go and ask permission? A regular Rav would need to go and ask permission to get a heter, to get board certification, to say that he's qualified to judge Bechoros. Do they or do they not have a mum? So Gemara says, what exactly is the question over here? My koma boile. What was he asking that the concern was that you had to or didn't have to go get rishus? Hachi koma boile. So Gemara says, this is what the question was. Ki ha d'amar Rav Idi bar Avin. This is what Rav Idi bar Avin explained. Dover zehinichu lehem lebe nesia kidei lizgader bo. In general, the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that this was something that the Bei Nisiya, they left to the Nasi, to the Nasi's authority, to be the ones to grant certification, to grant permission for somebody to judge, is this animal having a mum or not? So you needed normally permission. So Tzarech Lito Rishus, so does even a member of the Sanhedrin have to get permission to judge Bali Mumin? Or Odilma, do we say, Kivan de Zokim Yoshi Bishiva? This guy's a huge Talmud Chacham, he's a member of the Sanhedrin, ain't no Tzarech. So he doesn't need, ain't Tzarech, he doesn't need to go ask the Nasi's permission. Everybody else needs to ask the Nasi's permission, but not the members of the Sanhedrin. So that's the question that was asked. So Amar Rabbi Tzadok ben Chaluka Araglov. So Rabbi Tzadok ben Chaluka got up on his feet. I mentioned many times that they used to sit down, but they wanted to ask a question, they had to stand up. That was their way, so to say, of waiting to be recognized, that we raise our hand, so they would stand up. And when the Rebbe would recognize them, they would speak. So he stood up, Amar, and he said, I personally saw Aniro Isi as Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra. Now Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra was Zokin Shiyoshi ben Yeshiva Haya. He was Talmud Chacham, who was part of the Sanhedrin, B'yeshiva Haya. Amad b'mala mizakeno shoseh, and nevertheless he stood in front of the grandfather of the current Nasi. In other words, this happened a few years ago when the current Nasi's grandfather was the Nasi, and he asked permission. So therefore, the question is asked and answered. Yes, even somebody who's a zakev yoshev b'yeshiva has to go ask permission to be judging a bechor whether it has a mum or not. That is what Rabbi Tzadok ben Chaluka said. Amar Rav Abba. Rabbi Abba said, no, that's not the way that Maisa was. Lo kach haya Maisa. That isn't the story. You have some of your facts mixed up. El kach haya Maisa. This is really what happened to Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra. Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra, Kohenoi. He was a Kohen. That's a very important fact. This is the Machlokis in the Gemara in Bechoros and Daflam and Hay, where we have a question. This was the question that Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra was asking, Paskin for me the following Shaila. Do we paskin halacha like Rabbi Meir? Do we say that halacha is like Rabbi Meir? Now, what did Rabbi Meir say? The Amar hechosher b'dover lo danu v'lo miido. Somebody who's suspected of possibly not being able to give a correct answer because he's no ge'a b'dover, such as a kohen who is the one who gets the bechor. So a kohen is always choshed since there was no Beis Hamikdash. He didn't want to hold on to this bechor and just watch it pasture and pasture and pasture until he gets a mum. He had to feed it. He had to take care of it. It was kachim. And yet he couldn't bring it as a carbon because there was no Beis Hamikdash, so he had to just hold on to it. So there's always chashed that maybe the kohen is going to make a mum, or he's going to paskin that this animal really has a mum when it doesn't have a mum kavua. So he's chashed, a kohen is chashed. So is that look like Rav Meir, who says that since he's a kohen and he's chashed on his own, he's therefore not allowed to go and paskin this for anybody else as well? A chashed b'dover, somebody who suspects that he's not going to tell us the absolute honest answer because he's a nogei b'dover, he's not allowed to judge lo dano v'lo mido. He can't testify about this and he can't judge this matter. So therefore, Rav Yossi ben Zimmer said, I'm a kohen, do we paskin like Rav Meir, and therefore I'm not allowed to judge not only for myself, everybody agrees I'm not allowed to judge for myself, but I wouldn't even be allowed to judge for another kohen. Or Dilmor, do we say that halacha is Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel? Do we in fact pass it Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel, who says only the Omar, Neman hu al shechavero? Right. While the Kohen is not allowed to judge for himself, but he's not choshed that he's going to go judge falsely for another Kohen. We don't assume that he's going to be no gabadav for another Kohen. After all, it's not me. So it's another Kohen. So Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel says that while you can't judge for yourself if you're a Kohen, you are allowed to judge for other people. So that's what Rabbi Yossi ben Zimri asked the grandfather of the current Nasi, when that grandfather was the Nasi, and he asked him, do we pass like Rav Meir, or do we pass like Shimon Gamaliel? Do we pass like Rav Meir, and I'm not allowed to judge at all, even for another Kohen, or do we pass like Rav Shimon Gamaliel, that I can't judge for myself, but I am allowed to judge for another Kohen? Because, Eino Nemon al Shel Atzmo, but he is Nemon on somebody else, Nemon hu al Shel Chaveiro. And Uposhetle, and the grandfather of the Nasi, the then Nasi, said, Halacha k'Rav Shimon Gamaliel, we pass like Rav Shimon Gamaliel, that you're only choshed on yourself, however, Nemon hu al shel chaveiro. And that was the Maisa with Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra, but it had nothing to do, does a member of the Sanhedrin, a Zokin, the Yoshev, the Yeshiva, does he have to ask permission or not? Rabbi Yossi bar Zimra only asked permission as a Kohen, but Lav Dafka as a regular Yisrael member of the Sanhedrin. That was the first question that was asked to Rabbi Lozar ben Pedos. That has nothing to do with the Gemara, but it started off the story, so we asked it, because now they asked him the second question, which deals with our Gemara. Besu koma bayalu, they furthermore asked him the following shaila, and they asked him, Rav Elazar ben Hadas, what is the halacha, ma lotzeis besandal shel sham? Are you allowed to go out with a sandal that is made out of sham? We turn to Ayin Ches Omid Beis, where the word sham is found. Sham is some sort of a guma, it's like a reed-like material. Elsewhere, Rashi tells us in the Gemara in Yevamos, it's koshahu, it's a hard material, umeginhu, and it protects the foot. So are you allowed to wear this hard, reed-like material that you're wearing as a shoe on Yom Kippur? Is this considered a shoe on Yom Kippur, or is it not considered a shoe on Yom Kippur? That's the question. So that's what they asked to Rav Elazar Matos. So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmeini al Raglav, here in this situation, Rav Yitzchak bar Nachmeini was the one that heard the story, and he stood up on his feet, and he said, V'omar, I personally, Ani Reisias, Rav Yishua ben Levi, I myself saw Rav Yishua ben Levi, Sheyotza b'sandal shel sham b'yom kippurim, he did wear such a sandal of sham on Yom Kippur. V'amin alei, and I said to him, ah, I see you're allowed to wear this on Yom Kippur, or you're allowed to wear this on a regular Tanis Sibra, but Tanis Sibra mai. Now this is talking about the Tanis Sibras that you weren't allowed to wear shoes on, because a regular Tanis Sibra, for example, like Shavasa B'Tamos, it's coming up, you're allowed to wear leather shoes. But there was a series of fasts that they had. The Gemara in Tainis discusses this in great detail, that when the rains didn't come, first the great, great, great people would fast 3 days, a Monday, Thursday, Monday, and then the entire population would fast a Monday, Thursday, Monday, then they fast another Monday, Thursday, Monday, and then they would fast a series of seven fasts, Monday, Thursday, Monday, Thursday, Monday, Monday, Thursday, they would fast a series of seven fasts. And it would end up on a Monday. It started on a Monday and ended off on a Monday. Seven fasts in a row. And on those fasts, they had much more stringent rules as the fast progressed, as the rain didn't come. So on those latter fasts, they weren't allowed to wear leather shoes. So he asked them, okay, on Yom Kippur, I see that you're wearing this sandal shosham. Are you allowed to wear this betanis sibur as well? On those fasts that you're not allowed to wear leather shoes, can you wear this sandal shosham? And Rabbi Shimon Levi responded, Omar Lee, he told to Rav Yitzchak bar Nachmeini, And he said, lo shna. Yes, there is no difference. You're not allowed to wear them on Yom Kippur, leather shoes, but this sandal shosham is allowed, and so too, you're not allowed to wear leather shoes on these stricter public fasts that we have for the lack of rain, but it doesn't include the sandal shosham that is permitted on both of them. Similarly, Amar Rabba Bar Brachana, he said, Ani ro'isi es Rabbi Elazar, the min Nineveh. I saw a different Elazar, not Elazar but Das, the Elazar that came from Nineveh, she yotze b'sandal shosham b'tan ha'sibur. He saw the exact opposite. He saw him go out on one of these public fasts that was decreed because of the famine, because of the lack of rain, and it was a day that you're not allowed to wear leather shoes, and he saw him wearing this sandal shosham, and obviously it was allowed. Baminalei, and he asked him, no, you can wear it on these days, but what about Yom Kippur? Is that stricter? B'yom HaKippur am I? And Amali said, lo shna. So the bottom line was that both Rabbi Elazar d'min Nineveh and Rabbi Shua ben Levi both wore the sandal shosham, both on these stricter fasts, the Tanis Sibur, for lack of rain, as well as on Yom Kippur. What did the other Amorayim do? So Rav Yehuda, Nofik b'dehitne. Rav Yehuda would go out on Yom Kippur with the sandal made out of hitni. What is hitni? Rashi says, min sham, it's a type of sham. So again, he held exactly like Rav Shua ben Levi and Rav Elazar de min Nineveh. Abayi, Nofik b'dehutze. He went out with dehutze. What is that? So Rashi says, sandal shel kapos tamarim. This was a sandal that was made out of palm fronds. And Rava, Nofik b'diable, Rashi tells us that the diable is a certain type of a grass sandal, shalasovim, was made out of grass of some sort. In other words, all of these things are not considered leather shoes on Yom Kippur. And Rabba bar Rav Huna, korich sudra akari. He would go wrap some sort of a kerchief around his leg and walk out on that, the Nofik, and go out with that on Yom Kippur. So all of these types of footwear, these various types of reeds or growths called sham, or grass, or wrapping some sort of a kerchief around your leg is not considered wearing a leather shoe on Yom Kippur. Masiv Rami Bar Chama, Rami Bar Chava asked the following shaila from a Mishnah in Shabbos. He says, it says in the Mishnah in Shabbos, Hakiteya, Rechman al-San, a person who's lost his foot, he's diabetic and he had an amputation, Hakiteya, a person who's an amputee, Yotze Bekavshlo, is allowed to go out on Shabbos wearing his prosthetic, wearing his wooden foot, Bekavshlo. Now, there's a concern over here that maybe it's going to come off and you'll carry it down at Amos Rishus Arabim. So no, this is considered like a shoe. We aren't concerned that the kav will come off and you'll carry it. Divri Rav Meir. On the other hand, Rav Yossi Oseh. Rav Yossi says you're not allowed to do this because we're concerned that it will come off and you'll carry it down at Amos Rishus Arabim. B'tani Allah, and we learned on this Mishnah, a brisa that said, Vishavin, both of them say that in regards to the Yom Kippur, even Rav Meir, who says that you're allowed to wear it on Shabbos, we're not concerned about carrying it, Shavin Shasu Lotz is well be Yom Kippur. That is considered a shoe. It's considered footwear on Yom Kippur. Now, this is made out of wood. This is Kavshalo, is a wooden type of prosthetic. So it is considered a shoe. So how come all of these Amorayim wore something that wasn't made out of leather? They didn't consider that a shoe. How come the Kavshalo, the prosthetic wooden foot, is considered a shoe? And all of these Sham and other materials are not considered a shoe. So that's the kasha that Rami Bar Chama asked. So Amar Abaye says, Hosom diyisbek sisim. The reason why those aren't allowed is because they have cushions inside of it. They have these pieces of worn out material. Rashi says, Chatichos begodim ktanos, pieces of clothing, small pieces of clothing, shem nochoslo, that they make it very comfortable, lismoch shoko aleim. And you put the stump of the foot into this wooden prosthetic foot with these cushions, and that's why there's a concern there that that's too comfortable. Umishum tanog, because it's comfortable, that's why you're not allowed to wear it on Yom Kippur, because you have to have the inui. Gemara says, really? Amalei Rava. Rava says to Abaye, is that really so? V'ilav monahu, if it's not considered a shoe, so kisisin mashve le mona. So if you don't consider this kav, this prosthetic wooden foot, a shoe, and it's only the cushions that make it into a shoe, do cushions make something into a shoe? Is that really true? Furthermore, va'od kol tanog the lav minalu b'yom kippurim mi aser. Is there an iser against getting pleasure on Yom Kippur? No, there's an iser of the five inuyim. You must afflict yourself with the five ways. You can't eat, you can't drink. That was number one. You're not allowed to do rechitza. You're not allowed to do sicha. You're not allowed to do nila sandal. You can't wear leather shoes, and you can't have tasha shemitah. But it doesn't say that you can't laugh on Yom Kippur. It doesn't say that you can't wear a nice, comfortable-fitting shirt. It doesn't say that it's also to get hana on Yom Kippur. So why would you not be allowed to put these ksisin inside your shoe? Is there an isser on being comfortable on Yom Kippur that you're saying that you're only allowed to have things that aren't giving you tonic on Yom Kippur? Rabba Bar Rav Huna have a kar sudra akari v'nafik. We just had the example that Rabba Bar Rav Huna would make his foot comfortable by tying some sort of a sudra or a kerchief around his foot and going out with it. So there's no isser in getting pleasure on Yom Kippur. They're just the requirement to have these five inuyim. And furthermore, v'od midiktani seifa. Keep on reading the Mishnah that we were just talking about in Shabbos with the kiteya, and it says im yeshlo beis kibul. If it has a receptacle area for the ksisin, then it's tummy. It's capable of accepting tumma. That's the implication being that the reisha, mechlal the reisha, which was the first part, which we read, which was the machlokas din Rav Meir and Rav Yossi, could you or could you not wear it on Shabbos? La bidis le ksisin askinan. It's talking about that there were no ksisin, because it says that if it has ksisin, then it's mekabel tumma, because it's a base kibble. Implying that the first part didn't have a base kibble, and if it doesn't have a base kibble, then where are the kesisin going to go? So therefore, the ratio which you're bringing the right from doesn't have kesisin. So what in the world, Abaya, are you saying? These three questions that Rava asks on Abaya, he says, totally shlug up what Abaya said, and therefore, El Amar Rava, Rava says, this is the way you have to understand this. La'olam dekuliyamo minhu. In fact, everybody holds that a wooden foot, this kav, the prosthetic foot of the amputee, is in fact considered menelhu. It is considered a shoe. And in fact, that's why both of them said you can't wear it on Yom Kippur, because it has the halachic status of a shoe. I on Shabbos, what's the machlokas? Why does Rav Meir say you can't wear it on Shabbos? And Rav Yossi says that you are allowed to wear it on Shabbos. Ubi Shabbos, b'hol pligi. This is what they're concerned about. Ma'asar ba'gazrin dom mishtamet. V'osi lesu yarba'amos. As I pointed out before, the opinion of Rav Yossi that says that you're not allowed to wear it on Shabbos is a concern that it's going to fall off your foot. It's not tightly attached to your foot. Gazrina duma mishtamet, it's going to fall off your foot, and you're going to carry it. Dalet amos, vasi lasuya, arba amos, bishus rab. You're going to carry it, dalet amos. And Reb Meir disagrees. Meir sova lo gazrina. This guy's an amputee. If his foot falls off, he's going to put it right back on. It's a prosthetic foot. He can't walk without it. He's not going to carry it. He's not going to hop home. And therefore, Reb Meir says, we don't have to make such a gazera in this situation. The Gemara continues and discusses what is the halacha of this footwear for other people. So Tana Rabbanon, Tinokos, a child, is he or she allowed to wear this footwear or not? Mutarim Bekulon, Chutz Minilas HaSandal. Is a child permissible? You can go and wash him up. You can anoint the child. As we'll see, those are necessary for the growth of the child. But you're not allowed to have him wear Nilas HaSandal. Or do we say, no, the child can also wear Nilas HaSandal? So the Braisa says, Tinokos Mutarim Bekulon, Chutz Minilas HaSandal. So the Braisa says, no, a child is not allowed to go and wear footwear. You can go wash, can anoint, but you're not allowed to wear shoes, leather shoes. So Gemara says, why? Maishno Nilas HaSandal, that you say no, because the Amre, Inshe Avdule, because you're going to say, everyone's going to realize that adults put it on for him. So that's why they're going to think that if you can put it, an adult can put the shoe on a child. Maybe an adult can wear a shoe. So the same thing would apply. Hanach Nami. Why do we allow the child to be washed, the child to be anointed? If people see the child has a nice clean punim, they see that he's anointed. Amri Inish Avdule. They'll say that adults did it. Mustam, if the adult can do it to a child, the adult can do it for themselves. So how come we're not concerned about this with Rechitza and Sicha, but we are concerned about it with Nilas and Sandal? Shmuel says, no, there's an obvious answer there. Rechitza v'sicha, emami esmol avilei. The child washed up erev Yom Kippur. Who says he washed up? Who said he anointed on Yom Kippur? The effects can last for a while. As opposed to the shoes, he obviously put them on right now. Shmuel says, who says? Sandal nami, with the shoe also, emami esmol avilei. They put the shoe on the child on erev Yom Kippur, and that's why the child's wearing the shoe right now. Who says they did it necessarily on Yom Kippur? Someone says, no, that's impossible, because he'd have to sleep in the shoes, and sleeping in shoes isn't allowed. Sando lo efshor de meyes malavdilei. There's no way that we're saying that the parents put the shoes on the child erev Yom Kippur, and he's still wearing it Yom Kippur morning from putting it on erev Yom Kippur, and that's why there's no concern, because you're not allowed to do that. The Amar Shmuel taught us, Hai man de boy limitam taimo de misuna lisayem misone v'ligne. If somebody wants to feel what it's like to be dead, in other words, this is a tragic thing to do. This could lead, Rahman al-Islam, to trouble. If you want to taste a taste of misusa, of death, so go wear your shoes at night and sleep in them. That's not a good thing to do. And therefore, if somebody sees a child wearing shoes Yom Kippur morning, they're going to know that the parents put it on Yom Kippur morning. As opposed to if they see he's a nice washed face or he's anointed, they're going to say, oh, the stomach of the parents did it on Erev Yom Kippur. That's the explanation. Alternatively, Elahanach the Lav Rivisayu Gosbu Rabbanon. A second teretz is no. Something like shoes, which isn't going to impact the child's growth and the child's being reared properly. So therefore, the rabbis didn't permit that. Hanach the Lav Rivisayu. It's not essential for the child's growth. So Gosbu Rabbanon. The rabbi said, just like an adult shouldn't wear shoes, so don't wear in your child who's at the age of Chinuch, don't put shoes on such a child. But Hanach the Rivisayu, but these things that are necessary for the child's growth, such as washing and anointing, so Hanach the Rivisayu, Logos, we were abundant. The rabbi said, no, we're not making such a gzeir in this situation. As we see from Abaye, the Omer Abaye, Omer Li'em. Abaye said that my mother taught me, and again we say this throughout Shas, Abaye Nebuch, his father died shortly after conception, and his mother died during childbirth, and he was raised by this guardian, this Aim that he refers to throughout Shas. She was a very wonderful lady, and she taught him a lot of things. And he said, this mother taught me the following. Revise dienuka maya chamime umishcha. It's essential for the growth of a young baby to wash the baby with water, hot water, and mishcha, and to anoint the child. So this is necessary for the growth of the child. Child gets a little bit older. His mother taught him, this aim taught him, godal purta, as he gets a little bit older, they also b'kut tocha. You have to go feed this child egg dipped into this kutacha bavli, this famous spoiled milk and grain dish that they would eat in Bavel. So you have to feed this child. That was an essential component of the child's growth. He got a little bit bigger, godel purta. So then, taburi money, give him utensils to go and smash, because children like to smash things, and this is part of the growing up. And he says, kihod de rabba, this is what my Rebbe Rabba did. Zobin lu money gizize de pachra livnei. He would go and buy for his son, would buy for him these broken utensils. They were previously broken, so they're very inexpensive. And he let his son break them. Umisavrilu. He let him play with them and break them. That's what children need to do. It's part of growing up. They need to sow their oats. And they need to have a little fun, get rid of the excess steam that they have. And therefore, this is part of growing up. Bottom line is, Abaye says that a young child, it's essential that they be washed and anointed, as opposed to wearing shoes, which isn't essential for their growth. Mark continues and says, HaMelech v'akala yirchatzu es p'neihem. We quoted in the Mishnah that the king or a kala are allowed to wash their faces on Yom Kippur. Now, who's the author of our Mishnah, the Gemara asks? Masnisin Mani. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Chananya ben Trajon. This is the famous Rabbi Chananya ben Trajon, who was one of the Asar Ruge Malchus, and he was a great, great Talmud Chacham, the Tanya. And he said in the following Braisa, HaMelech v'akala lo yirchatzu es p'neihem. Tanakhama of this Braisa says that the king or the kala are not allowed to wash their faces on Yom Kippur. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama and the Chachamim, but Rabbi Chananya ben Trajon disagrees. Omer Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, he said in the name of the great Rabbi Eliezer, HaMelech v'Akala, Yirchatzu es p'neihem. They are allowed to go and wash their faces, the king and the kala. And likewise, Hechaya, a woman that just gave birth, Lotino les sandal. The Tanakhama and the Chachamim say she's not allowed to wear shoes. But again, along comes Rabbi Chananya ben Trajon saying, Omer Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, in the name of the great Rabbi Eliezer Agadol, that Hechaya Tino es asando. She's also allowed to wear shoes. He's the makel opinion in all of these situations. Why? My time, what's the reason that he's makel? So he says, because a king can go wash his face, melech bishum dechsib, because the pasuk says, melech biyofyo techazenu einecha, because the pasuk in Yeshaya tells us that the king always has to look glorious. He always has to be somebody that you honor. And if the king has a dirty face, so it's hard to give him honor. Why Kala? Kala, my taima, Kadesh Lotizgana, Abala. She's newly married. Her husband should find her desirable and she get pleasure in looking at her. If she has a dirty face, it's going to make him find her disgusting. And Rachman Litzan, early in the marriage, those things might be more important. Baruch Hashem, when a person is married for many years, he realizes, Sheker Achayim, Vavol Yopi, these are all fleeting things. And real love, real beauty is the person inside and not outside. But a person who's newly married, it's going to be Chas Hashem causing to be Tizgana, Abala, that her husband will find her displeasing. So therefore, that's why Rabbi Chananya ben Trajon, in the name of Rabbi Eliezer Agadol, says that you are allowed to go and wash your face. Amle Rav le Rabbi Chia. Rav said to his uncle Rabbi Chia, his Rabbi, his uncle Rabbi Chia, Kala Kama. At what point in time is she no longer called a Kala? So Amle Rabbi Chia said to Rav, Kidatanya, this we learned in a Braisa, Ein Monin Tachshitim in Akala Kol Shloshim Yom. For 30 days, she's allowed to go and do this, for whatever the reason, that she might not be allowed to in other situations. For example, Rahman al-Islam, if she was an Avelus or anything like that, or if Yom Kippur falls out, then she's still allowed to use these Tachshitim, which we normally say is, we had this early in the world, that the Tachshitim fell down for Shemayim. It means cosmetics. It came down with the mun. So this is allowed for a Kala for 30 days. She's still called a Kala. Then it says, the third halacha that Rabbi Chananya ben Trajan brought down in Rabbi Eliezer, that the woman who just gave birth is allowed to wear leather shoes. Hechaya tino l'sasando. Why is that? So he says, mishum tzina, because it's cold. And if her feet aren't kept warm, it could, rachmana l'slan, cause this woman who recently gave birth to be sick. And Shmuel adds to this, Omer Shmuel, he says, imachma sakonas akrov. He says, if there's a concern that there are scorpions around and they would bite a person who's walking barefoot or who wasn't wearing leather shoes, so then it's also permissible. Mutter, again, everything is permissible because of sakonas nefashos. This is a good break point. At this point, we stop the share. I thank you always for listening.